Hello and welcome to the Positive Place podcast, your home of feel-good news. Every week, along with special guests, I will be sharing oodles of heartwarming news stories, infinite ideas of activities to get stuck into during isolation, and hopefully putting a smile on your face with a number of entertaining debates about what we're getting up to at home. Each week's podcast will focus on a different theme. From sports to art, volunteering to education, there's something for everyone. Welcome to episode 6. We're over 2 months into lockdown now, and many of us, I'm sure, are turning to social media to keep us entertained. This week, we're going to be discussing whether social media has become a more positive place during the lockdown. I speak to children's author Natalie Reeves-Billing about how she's used social media to help her launch her first ever book. More URM presenters share how the wonders of technology have helped their shows to continue. And Girl Guiding leader Mari shares her thoughts on their recent online festival, Adventures from Home. But first, here's 7 ideas of ways to keep occupied in lockdown this week.
Keeping positive with a mental wellbeing planner. That's the first thing I'll be doing, writing down a bunch of activities that I can do on a daily that will really help me visualise the stuff I can be doing rather than just sitting bored in isolation. This means I'll be able to plan and time manage when I can talk to my friends and when I can talk to my course mates about coursework and get everything out of the way.
The first thing I saw last week is a comedian called Harry Hill decided that he would post on Instagram with a sort of an arts and craft thing that you can make of a coronavirus puppet. And of course, this isn't exactly directly taking your mind off coronavirus, but it is certainly making more fun out of it, if that's sort of weird in your mind. And he basically did this by spray painting a sponge grey before then sticking googly eyes on it and then spray painting some cotton wool buds or painting them, doesn't, you know, whatever you've got handy, a red colour, and then sticking those into the sponge. So that was one thing that I thought was quite fun.
I really like to watch like a good feel-good film on Netflix, like Peter Rabbit, because then you feel happy and you're embraced in the film.
During this quarantine period, I've decided to do some colouring, and I believe this is a great way to spend the time because it's productive but also relaxing. You can make some great artwork that you may not have thought you would do. And it's good for mental health because it's a break from the mountains of uni work that many of us have probably got at the moment.
Do the little jobs that you've put off for months, like tidying up. That's something I did before I left Nottingham, was just tidy everything up, do a big deep clean, backing up photos from your phone or whatever you use. You know, just things. I make a little list. Tidy up the garden. If you're fortunate enough to have one. Yeah, just little things. You can spend time with your family. I've heard that they're nice when you get to know them. I think that's the main thing that everyone should be doing. But not too close, you know. Keep that 2 metres. We encourage social distancing, even with people that you do know. Play a board game or something. Just in different corners of the room.
So I'm fortunate enough to be able to work from home during this period. So I work for a firm where we're issued laptops, so we can crack on with our work. So I'm quite lucky in that we have that little bit of normality remaining in this unprecedented time. I'm going to be actually working on things that I can do that I've been meaning to do for a while. So I've got a few books that I want to read. And besides that, I'm going to be taking a bit of time to organise everything in my bedroom, anywhere else around the house where I've got stuff, because I've been meaning to do that for a while. It just seems like a really good time to clean up and have a bit of an organise. And that's very productive, it's constructive, and you don't have to go anywhere to do that.
Is a jigsaw that's 2,000 pieces and it's all of London. It's actually way harder than I thought it would be. I found it at the back of a cupboard, and I'm pretty sure it's been in this cupboard, like, gathering dust for about 10 years now. I must have got it when I was, like, super young. But now's finally the time, 10 years later. And honestly, I thought it would be really boring. I'm actually weirdly getting quite into it. I'm at the table most days doing this puzzle. So I'm really worried I'm going to exit lockdown with, like, a really boring hobby of doing puzzles all the time. But never mind. That's okay.
For the first interview of today's episode, I spoke to Natalie Reeves-Billing, children's author and author of the new book, Ben and the Bug. The story aims to explain the impact of coronavirus, but in a child-friendly manner. Here I speak to Natalie about how she's used social media to help her launch her first ever book during a lockdown.
Hi, my name's Natalie Reeves-Billing, and I'm a children's author from Merseyside. I was in a signed touring band a long time ago and was the main songwriter in that touring band. And so songwriting was my primary vocation until very recently when I decided I wanted to go into writing. So 2 years ago, I put them all down on paper and started to form them into some sort of cohesive storyline. Just during the pandemic, I decided to release my first book, which might seem a little bit crazy, but it was the best decision I ever made. I felt that the books were so on point that they couldn't have had a better time, really, or be more meaningful. My first book was called My Mummy is a Monster. And it's a split perspective book, which means that it explores two different narratives, one through a child's eyes and one through a parent's eyes, in order to create well-being and balance in children and families, which is more important now that we're all locked in together at 24/7. We're all under each other's feet and feeling a little monstrous. And the second one, which is perhaps the most poignant and relevant, is Ben and the Bug, which is specifically about COVID-19. And helps families to explain in a light-hearted yet clear and precise way what it is that's happening. It's full of fact boxes and it's quite uplifting and it takes away fear and anxiety.
So how did you come up with the idea for your book, Ben and the Bug?
I came up with the idea for Ben and the Bug when listening to The Owl and the Pussycat with my daughter, and the rhyming really stuck in my head. I was in the middle of my Monstrous Me collection at the time, and I was meant to be writing My Teachers Are Monsters, but this one just came to the forefront. It just needed to be told. And I thought, because of my split perspectives idea, the idea of looking at things from different perspectives and viewpoints, I thought, what a great idea to look through the eyes of the bug itself, and to show that, yes, it does want to interact with us, but it doesn't intend to harm us. It just does what it does, and it's quite light-hearted and fun, and yet there are these fact boxes which do give you precise instructions as to what to do in terms of basic hygiene. And so that was it, really. I wanted something out there that could really be relevant to what people were passing through now and the questions that they were asking at home.
What difficulties and challenges have you faced through writing and publishing a book during lockdown in particular?
I'd say that yes, there were challenges and difficulties when releasing during a pandemic, mainly because, you know, emotionally nobody is really feeling themselves, and there's a whole heap of uncertainty that comes. You've got the kids at home, and I'm very compartmentalized, so usually I have a set time and space for everything, but I'm having to be all those things at once whilst the kids are home. So that was hard, trying to learn new skills and to be more patient, and also trying to create in that frame of mind. But it was also very cathartic as well, on the other hand. But also other people were going through that same dynamic, so service providers are taking more time to come back, people have been furloughed, so, you know, PR sort of things, radio, people like that might be on a skeleton crew. And so it is harder to push, and you're having to generate a lot more through organic leads and, you know, to try and keep visibility up, I guess. And so really it's the strongest amongst us that can keep our businesses visible at this time. And mine was so new, my social enterprise was barely 2 months old, and I hadn't even applied for any funding yet. And so for me, I hadn't even kickstarted anything, but I wanted to make sure that at the end of this, that I had a firm footing for what might lie ahead.
What tips would you give to anyone who is trying to stay motivated to complete a project such as writing a book during this isolation period?
Hints and tips for anybody needing to stay focused and motivated, especially now when doing something like writing a book. I guess it's to just sit down and not expect anything of yourself and just see what happens. Free writing has worked really well for me, so to just write about anything that comes in my head and just get it all out. That's usually where the spanners are, and if you iron all of those things out, you get to a more fluid place, and, you know, you access that deeper part of yourself, and that kind of just becomes a bit more, well, it loosens up a little bit and just kind of flows. Also, you know, I think that balancing things in life, not doing too much of it, doing a little bit of everything helps, you know, making sure you have time out to do other things, and that puts you in a much more positive frame of mind for your work. So bite-sized chunks all the way. Long slogs are really quite taxing and might prevent you from wanting to put in the same amount of effort the next day, and consistency is key, really.
How has social media helped you to promote and share the new book?
Social media has been crucial to promote the book now. Lots of people, as I said before, are away from work, not able to go to the office, and therefore a lot of people are spending time on their screens. Although they might not be responding, don't be disheartened. You might only get one like or two, but people are seeing it, and that's the main thing. You don't always know who's seen it, and, you know, before you know it, it's like a snowball effect. You start getting messages in your inbox, being part of a blog, being part of a review or a podcast or appearing on a radio station. It does pick up, but organically it is quite slow. I was lucky in that I have quite a large Twitter following in particular, and there is a strong writing community. I would advise anybody to join straight away with the hashtag writing community and follow us there. There's a lot of support and guidance there, lots of hints and tips, lots of praise and encouragement. So yes, social media is absolutely crucial, especially now.
What has the response to Ben and the Bug been like on social media?
Amazing, really. There are lots of people who've been struggling to work out how they're going to explain what's going on to the little ones. Some of the terminology is very complex. You know, a lot of it is very much doom and gloom. And although parents are trying to stay poker-faced with their kids, obviously sometimes when it's 24/7, you can't keep that shield on you the whole time, and you do let it slip here and there, and kids are like sponges, they pick it all up. And so the best thing from my perspective is to be honest about those things, but the way that you put your message across obviously has to be adapted for the audience. And that was the gap I wanted to fill. I wanted to have a book that's as adventurous as something like, say for instance, The Gruffalo, where you feel that you're going on a little journey and that it's not completely real world, but the issues that are discussed there are very much real world. It's like hidden value, if you like. The kids will take something from it, and there are the fact boxes as well, which are a great jump-off point for discussing basic hygiene and also things about how to identify well-being in a child as well, and when they should talk to you about things. So creating a circle of trust, a space where a child can come and tell you that they aren't feeling great and that that is welcomed by you.
And finally, where can we find out more about you and buy your book?
If you'd like to connect on socials, you can always get me on my Twitter account, which is @BillingReeves. Or you could look for me on Facebook on my author page, which is Natalie R. Billing Author. Also on my Insta, you can look for me on Natalie_Reeves_Billing. Anyone wanting to find out a bit more about me and about the books, go to my website on www.lollipoplodge.net, and if you put in the /store, you'll be able to have a look at the books that are on sale at the moment and get links to places to purchase them. Also, if you'd like to collaborate, you can always hit me up on there and let me know. I'm always open to that, especially now when we're all virtually distanced. Also, there are free downloadable activities available on store as well for children around the content of the books. Things like monster mask making and bug mask making, comprehension exercises, colouring in. So there's lots to do on there. You can find out about any events that are coming up for me as well as an author. Thank you very much.
Following on from our Hobbies from Home episode, I decided to catch up with a few more URM presenters to find out how the wonders of technology and social media is helping them to keep their radio shows going during the lockdown.
So through lockdown, for my daytime show, we've really utilised social media as a way to get people involved in furthering what we would normally do if we were in the studios. So we use our Instagram at Holly and George URN to do quizzes every so often. They started as daily quizzes at the start of lockdown, but coursework happened, so now they're more like weekly quizzes, and really try and get people involved, see what they want to see. We did a huge Horrible Histories poll for best songs with a huge bracket, and we got like 300 people voting in it, which was really great. A lot of those people have stuck around and still comment on our Insta stuff and get involved in polls for our show. So we have a lot of features such as Nostalgia, where we debate iconic early 2000s things that everyone does or everyone did and were a huge part of everyone's childhood. So was Angry Birds better than Cut the Rope and stuff like that, and then get people to vote and we debate that on the show, as well as things like our Agony Aunt section. People can submit things and we discuss it, and then just generally our games, we like to get people involved and see what they think. So it's been a really fun way in lockdown to sort of keep making content, even when we sometimes haven't been able to get on air because of deadlines or if the technology hasn't worked that day. It's really great to sort of keep that going with listeners, and I think it's been utilized quite well. Like, we've made the most of social media.
Thank you.
Hello there. I'm Declan Boardman, resident DJ and host of the official Pre-Ocean show, but now currently residing in my bedroom in isolation. I know what you're probably thinking. Deck, how do you host a show that is entirely gauged towards getting people in the mood to go clubbing to Nottingham's biggest student night when the whole country is closed? Well, naturally, if the students can't get themselves to Ocean for a dip, I'll be bringing the dip to them, playing some of the various dubious songs played by our Lord and Saviour Andy Ho that we would normally hear on our Friday nights is just one of the ways in which I try and provide the Ocean experience to the listeners of the show. Exploring some of the many stories that I have of the antics and mayhem found on my many trips to these legendary venues is commonplace on my show, but divulging the many ways in which I have hacked the overall vibe and brought it into my environment in isolation is something that I've started to do. For example, an ordinary manoeuvrable desk lamp. It has a striking glow that reminds me more of a murder interrogation than a nightclub. But by changing the bulb inside to a rotating disco ball, you've got the surroundings of the main Ocean dance floor, all from the comfort of your own home. Obviously minus the numerous drunken sweaty freshers in discarded VK bottles. That leads me on to the point of drinking. Alcohol is widely considered one of the most consumed types of beverages in Ocean, ahead of other types such as non-alcoholic drinks. So for only the most sensible of people who have things to do on a Saturday, but also the wettest of wet wipes. Now, drinking at home is a dangerous pastime, which can lead to many unwanted issues such as excessive binge drinking, tooth rot from consumption of only the valid VK flavour, that's orange and passion fruit by the way, and calling up your friends and ex-partners to find out what they're up to and whether they want to join in the frivolities. These are all behaviours, ironically, that you would normally find on a normal evening at Ocean, so discretion is advised on whether you would want to emulate this experience, but for me, I have decided to forego this element. As for the show, and one of the biggest staples of the format, giving away 4 free tickets to the club, as you can imagine, is not going ahead as of now. However, there are plans for a giveaway coming up in the not-so-distant future in the form of an interactive online quiz all about Nottingham's biggest and best student nightclub. So I'll do my best to keep you in the know about this as we get to the point of giving the tickets away. In the meantime though, if you want to listen to the classic and cheesy songs that barrage our eardrums, usually when singing only the finest of alka-pops, then listen to the official Ocean Show, Fridays from 7 on University Radio Nottingham.
This is URN.
Absolutely amazing, as always, to hear that URN are still continuing during the lockdown. And don't forget, you can follow us on our main social medias at URN1350 on both Instagram and Twitter. Now, for the final interview of today's episode, I spoke to Mari, a key worker and volunteer at Girl Guiding, and we discussed how social media has helped charities such as Girl Guiding to continue. We discussed Zoom meetings, Girl Guiding's recent Adventures at Home live stream, and where we see the future of online resources going. I'm joined today by Mari from Girl Guiding. So to begin with, can you just explain the various different roles you have taken on within Girl Guiding?
So I'm a Brownie leader and a Ranger leader, and I'm also a lead volunteer for youth programmes. And in my kind of real life, I am an assistant programme manager for the NHS, and I primarily look after primary care.
So obviously the theme for this week's episode is using social media in a more positive way. And how has social media helped your Girl Guiding group to continue during lockdown?
In lockdown, it's been super busy work-wise, so I haven't had the time to kind of run virtual meetings, unfortunately, but I have seen lots of amazing virtual meetings through social media, which has been great. I have been continuing my lead volunteer role, been supporting the kind of specialist volunteers that I look after and making sure that all of our kind of new program activities and our launch of Adventures at Home was kind of successful, and making sure that that all ran smoothly. So I've been really active and used social media to kind of promote that, and also other online tools like Zoom for meetings meetings and lots of kind of Skype and emailing as well. So I've definitely been busy, but I haven't done any virtual meetings. I have sent my Brownies and my Rangers links to the Adventures at Home stuff and examples that I've seen on social media, which has been amazing. And I think that that's also a great tool as well, to be able to show that it can be done. You can, you know, do all of these activities at home, which is grand. And also, I just think that it's been such a boost for, you know, me personally, but I think loads of other volunteers to see that, you know, our guiding light is still shining and loads of kind of young people are still enjoying the kind of whole host of girl guiding activities that are on offer. So it's been so amazing to see the adaptability of our leaders and also our kind of young people as well to kind of adjust to this new way of guiding, I suppose. But yeah, certainly it's been amazing. And I think it's been great to kind of link up and see what other people are doing and how they're running their meetings as well. So yeah, it's been one ride, but yeah, social media has definitely helped to show kind of my Brownies and Rangers that it is feasible and you can do it at home.
Do you think we'll see a move towards more online activities and resources in the future because of these adaptations that have been made during the isolation period?
I think we're going to see lots more online activities and resources being utilised by the organisation moving forward post-lockdown. I think the way in which the programme team at HQ have put everything online and that turnaround has been absolutely amazing. I also think the adaptability of our leaders to deliver meetings in a brand new way has been amazing as well. So I really hope that a lot of that continues and passes over to the new normal. And I think that it just makes everything so much more accessible because it is online, and obviously so many of our volunteers are digitally literate. So it makes it so much more easy to have everything just at the touch of your fingertips. And I think it's also amazing to think about the kind of new possibilities that could be taking place after lockdown as well, and the lessons that we can learn as an organisation from what's happened during lockdown. So I think that, you know, for girls and young women that maybe can't make regular meetings, I think the way in which virtual meetings have kind of sprouted up and the way in which leaders have learned and then been able to deliver amazing meetings, I think we should definitely carry some of that over into kind of this new normal as well. Because there's so many girls that would love to join Girl Guiding, but, you know, can't make face-to-face meetings for whatever reason. So I think that that would be such a good alternative kind of moving forward to make more time for virtual meetings. But yeah, it's been absolutely amazing to see all of our amazing volunteers just adapt to this kind of new way of working and new way of delivering guiding.
So yesterday, Girl Guiding hosted their Adventures from Home day filled with activities and online speeches for members across the country. Did you and your unit get involved, and what did you think of it?
I think the Adventures from Home weekend has been absolutely amazing. So I tuned in online yesterday to see some of our amazing speakers, so Sally Kettle and Anna McNuff, and hear all their stories and also do some kind of fun experiments as well. I thought that was absolutely amazing and so accessible for so many of our young members. I sent the link out to my Brownie group and my Ranger group, and I believe some of them joined in. And I just think it brings such joy to a time where some of us aren't feeling joyous all the time. So I think it just brings such fun and such light and such energy back into our lives, which has been amazing. And the fact that it's been accessible for all is great as well. So, you know, you didn't need to be a Girl Guiding member to participate and benefit from it. So I think that that's been great. And I just think it's been such a great initiative and so well received as well. And something that, you know, we can look back on as an organisation and think, wow, that was really cool. And hopefully as well that we'll see kind of knock on effects in terms of membership and in terms of kind of people wanting to join our great organisation, because we put on such great things like this. So yeah, I think it's been an amazing
amazing initiative. And also it's been so great to see people on social media kind of tuning into the Adventures at Home Festival, but also share kind of what activities and badges and, you know, meeting activities that they're doing at home. And it's, yeah, it's been absolutely great to see. And it's definitely cheered me up as well.
And finally, do you think we've seen social media becoming a more positive place and promoting greater social advocacy and collaborative projects since lockdowns have begun across the world?
Yeah, so I think that kind of pre-lockdown, social media had a bit of a bad rap, I suppose. I think there is a lot of mixed content on there, and myself included, you can just spiral into, you know, crazy threads or videos or whatever about, you know, astrology signs or, you know, just silly little topics like that. But I think what lockdown has really shown us is the positive change that social media can have and the kind of positive force and social action that can come out of that. So, for example, the spreading of the word of the 8 p.m. NHS clap has been amazing, and it's also been great to see kind of other cities in the UK participating. I remember in the first couple of weeks I saw videos of London just kind of erupting in claps, which was so, you know, as an NHS worker myself, it was just really moving and emotional. And I think as well, in terms of kind of guiding and social action, I think that, you know, the Uniforms for Uniforms movement has been so great as well from our Girl Guiding Advocates, and I think really shown us the power that social media can have. And I think it's also shown us that our young people as well are just so in tune with the current climate and how they can best support as well, and things that they can do to make the world a better place, which is amazing. I also think that there's been so much kind of news disseminated on social media as well, and I think that us all being at home more and probably, you know, on our phones or on social media much more has allowed us to get more information but also link up and see where the links are as well. So yeah, I think that it's the kind of overarching perception of social media maybe has changed throughout lockdown. I also think that there's been a lot of kind of community spirit as well and solidarity with other countries or other, you know, people also affected by lockdown. So I remember in the first few weeks there was a lot of solidarity and also information sharing about what lockdown is really like. And I think that, you know, that's really been beneficial, especially for me as kind of reading those articles, kind of knew what to expect. But yeah, I think it has become a lot more positive. But I suppose the caveat in that is, you know, I follow the accounts that are the people that I agree with. So, and I suppose that's always the caveat with social media, is that you're seeing what you're kind of subscribed to. So there's a whole plethora of kind of other accounts that may disagree. So I suppose on my feed, it's been pretty positive, but aware that there is, you know, so much more out there that maybe isn't content that I would personally like to see. But, you know, on the whole, I think that it is becoming a much more positive kind of place. And I really hope that that continues post-lockdown as well.
If you'd like to check out the Girl Guiding Adventures at Home weekend, whether you're a member or not, you can do so through searching for Girl Guiding on YouTube. Whilst you're there, maybe check out the hashtag With Me series that YouTube have put together. They've created a whole host of playlists from everything for cooking, cleaning and working ideas. There's so many amazing social media stories out there, from universities developing apps to track the coronavirus to new businesses managing to find a way to launch during the lockdown. And I hope that today's episode has been able to share just a few of those amazing social media stories. But unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks again to my guests, Natalie Rees-Billing, children's author, Mari from Girl Guiding, and our two URM presenters, Deck and Holly. Next week, we'll be discussing what new skills you've been learning from home and speaking to people delivering online classes. But until then, stay safe and have a lovely week.